Morning. If you please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians as we start back on that this morning. We'll be looking at chapter 3, 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 3, 6 through 9. I will go ahead and begin the reading at verse 1 to maintain the context of all this. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Let's pray. Father, how good it is to read this text this morning and to see that we, as Abraham, are justified by faith. And Father, you have so chosen to call a people for yourself, knowing that we are incapable of our own ability to come before you. You condescended to us and sent your Son. Father, as we look at this text this morning, let us find joy in it. Help us, Father, to relate to Abraham and to understand the gift that you have given us in your promise. Father, help us to be overjoyed with your grace and mercy, with your compassion that you have laid upon us. Father, give me the words to speak this morning, that we would be edified by it. Speak your words to your people. Strengthen our hearts and our minds. Let our ears be attentive to you. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Now, I have to admit that I actually considered not preaching anymore out of Galatians till the first of the year, because we're getting into a section of Galatians now that is very important for us to really concentrate on and really apply. In many ways, what we are about to look at starting today is, it really has so much to do with who we are as a church. It's what we believe. It's how we have come together in Christ. And I thought to hold off, because we'll have two Sundays at the end of this month where there'll be a Christmas sermon, which is appropriate to speak of our Savior's birth. And as we always do, have a New Year's sermon beginning the new year and considering how we should approach it. But as I thought about it, I thought it would be good for us to continue through this and begin to build, and I'll just have to make a big review when we start back in January. But before we get started on the text this morning, I just want to remind you of what we talked about last time, because this all flows together. Remember, Paul here in this section began by speaking to the Galatian church and seeing their foolishness in the way that they were beginning to walk. They were beginning to add things to the gospel. They were adding things to Christ. And he said this is foolishness, that to adopt anything outside of faith in Christ is a doctrine of foolishness. And he tells them very clearly that you have already known of Christ, that he was portrayed to you clearly as crucified. that what he has done has taken care of all of it. And then he goes in verse 6, and he says, he uses Abraham not as an example of being justified by faith, but the example. He says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We could spend the whole time talking about this, and in a sense we're going to, because that's what all four of these verses are talking about. It's talking about how, as Abraham, we are justified, and you can see my play in words, as the title of this sermon is Just as Abraham. It's the first words of our text this morning, but it also is a play on words in the sense that just as Abraham is justified, so are we. So we are justified the same way as Abraham. And this is important for us to understand in our operation as a church. It's important for us to understand for our walk in life to be sanctified. So just as Abraham, we are justified in the same way. And what I want to point out here is he says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The word accounted here is the same word as imputed. And it's an important thing to understand that terminology. Because it's not something that Abraham earned. It's not something that was given to him by his deeds. But it was imputed to him. It was given to him in exception to what he did. Because he didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve to be counted as righteous. But it was imputed to him. And the whole point of this here is that he believed God. And when we think about the idea of believing God, you know, the scripture tells us very clearly that everyone believes God exists. Romans 1 is clear about it. But the distinction of this is that he believed God. That's who we are. We are those who believe God, not those who believe in God. Remember, even Satan believes in God. The demons shudder because of it. They believe in God. But we believe him. And that's what Abraham did. He believed God, and it was accounted to him, it was imputed to him as righteousness. The word believed here comes from the same root as faith. He had faith in God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And that is what Paul is driving at here when he uses Abraham as this example for us. He uses him in such a way to say, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, so too we have believed God, and it has been accredited to us, it has been imputed to us as righteousness. In Genesis 15:2, says, but Abram, before his name changed, before Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed the promise of God. He believed that God was going to provide just what he said he was going to provide. And he believed it in such a way, that he did not doubt any longer that God would provide an offspring for him, that all the nations would be blessed. And we're going to look at that a little more in a minute. But the whole idea that Abraham was justified, not by works, as it says in Romans 4:2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies his faith, is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So here we see Paul speaking in Romans that Abraham was justified not by his works, but by his believing. And David even tells us the same thing. He references David in this passage, that blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. That is amazing, considering the fact that we are sinners, and yet he will not impute what we deserve, what we truly are, to us. But he says that God imputes righteousness to us apart from our works. Paul is driving this home to them. Remember, calling them foolish for thinking anything else. Calling them foolish because they were adding other things to their justification. They did not truly see themselves as just as Abraham. They saw themselves as just plus something else. I need my works to be accounted as righteous. But Paul shows it very clear that Abraham was justified by faith. And therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. You know, if we consider the fact that even the Jews would say that they were sons of Abraham. But we'll see here in a little bit that they weren't sons of Abraham in the true sense, because the sons of Abraham are by faith. And this is important for us to get. This statement right here. Know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Nobody else can claim sonship. Nobody else can claim being an heir unless they are of the same faith as Abraham. You know, when we go back and we look at the Genesis passage, and he says that count your descendants. Count the seas, of the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky, if you can count them. And we know that the nation of Israel does not fit that criteria. Faith will. They're uncountable. It is those that are of faith that are the sons of Abraham. As a matter of fact, as we travel through Galatians, and we'll look at this in great detail later, in Galatians 3:26, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're going to see the word promise mentioned so many times because that's what we are heirs by. And consider what it says here in this passage. As I said, we are going to deal with this passage in great detail when we come to it. But it's important to point out the reality that in order to be Abraham's seed, then it is by faith in Christ. You are all sons of God. Look how he puts this together. He begins it in 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ. And then he says, you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. So we see the connection that in order to be sons of God, we are also part of Abraham's seed. Now, I think the majority of this room can very clearly say that we are not part of Abraham's heritage. We cannot go back in our history, in our lineage, and find Abraham in it. So it's very clear that in this passage, he is speaking of those who are in Christ Jesus, those who by faith believe God. Believe God for the true seed, which is Jesus Christ. In Romans 9, starting verse 6, it says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not Israel who are Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. The whole phraseology of this is interesting to see because when he says they are not all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but yet it goes down to say, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. This is very important for us to get because the church has existed from the beginning. And even in Israel, the church existed. But not all Israel is Israel. Those that God has redeemed, even from this time past, which we'll see in a minute, that the gospel was preached to Abraham. The people of God have always existed. They have existed within Israel, and now they exist amongst the Gentiles. But not all Israel was Israel. Not all Israel were the children of God. Because it's those of the promise. Just because they were born of Abraham did not make them a seed of Abraham. Because they were not of the promise. That's why he makes it very clear here. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. And he explains this. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of promise. Isaac was a child of promise. We go all the way back to where we started in Genesis. When Abraham was telling God, I have no offspring. And what did he say? Eleazar will not be your heir. Because he promised the heir. And that heir was Isaac. And it's not because he's Isaac. But it's because Isaac was the promised one to come from Abraham. And the lineage flows all the way from there, all the way to Christ. And we're not going to take the time to look at that whole lineage that comes to Christ because he says, out of your own body. And it's important for us to get that what he's talking about is Christ, even when he speaks of Isaac here. Because he's speaking of the promise. The promise. Getting into verse 8 now, it says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. This is an unbelievable statement. Because we have no place in the scripture that says that God told Abraham specifically about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. It doesn't speak directly to that, does it? But what's important about this passage is it's stating that there is a promise given, that something was said to Abraham, and it makes it very clear what that statement was. And that statement is, in you all the nations shall be blessed. God preached the gospel to Abraham by telling him that in him all the nations would be blessed. If you look at Genesis 22:15, it says, the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time. Now this is when Abraham is up on the mountain getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. Now Isaac, remember, Abraham believed God for Isaac, and now he's going to sacrifice Isaac. But as the scripture says, that he still believed God and willing to sacrifice him, knowing that God would fulfill his promise even if he had to resurrect him. And thinking about Isaac willingly going upon it to take that sacrifice. Of course, we have an imagery here, don't we? Of the father giving the son. And so he goes on, he says, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of the heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now what's important to get, and you've heard this statement many times already, in many of the passages of scripture I've already brought up, is the idea of the seed. When we read this in its normal language, we of course, consider the fact that it's talking about Abraham's offspring. And in one sense, it is. But it has a greater purpose. If we look at Galatians 3:16 for a moment, again, one we will spend a lot of time on when we get there. But as a reference point to understand this aspect of the gospel being preached to Abraham in understanding that in him all the nations shall be blessed. Because he says, in your seed, all the nations shall be blessed. So here he's speaking about the blessing going out to the Gentiles. Not just to his descendants themselves, but to all the nations. In Galatians 3:16, he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. This is so important for us to get. If we are not in Christ, if our faith is not placed upon the person and work of Jesus Christ, then we are not heirs. If we were of Jewish descent and did not have faith in Jesus Christ as the sole propitiation for our sins and resting upon his righteousness and not our own, then we would not be a seed of Abraham. This is so important to get, because if we don't plug this in, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, defines what the seed means. When it speaks of the promise, it's speaking of Christ. That seed which is spoken of, that blessing that Abraham is being spoken to here by God when he has preached the gospel to, it is about Christ. When he says, the seed, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And I do want to clarify something here. Because in verse 16, he says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless, and multiplying I will multiply. Well, this sounds like works, doesn't it? No, this is a fruit of faith. He believed God. God said that through Isaac, all the nations will be blessed. And Abraham, knowing God, would fulfill his promise by faith, was going to do what God said because he believed God. If he would have not gone upon that mountain to sacrifice Isaac, his faith would have been absolutely useless because there would have been no faith. This is not an act of works. This is an act of faith. And we need to make sure we understand the distinction. If this is an act of works, it means that he earned something. But even in God's statement, he says, by myself I have sworn. It's what God is doing. It's not what Abraham is doing. But Abraham, in his faith, believed God and did exactly what he told him to do. But understand that when it speaks of the gospel being preached to him, it's being preached to him in the sense that he's promising that seed that will bless all the nations, that seed that will bring redemption to all people everywhere. As we learn in Galatians 3:16, that seed that he is speaking of is the promised seed of Jesus Christ. See, in the reality of the covenant that we stand in, we only stand in that covenant because of Christ, because the covenant was made with Christ, not with me and you. The covenant is made with Christ. And if we're not in Christ, if we are not in Christ, then we are not of the promise. Just like we read back in Galatians 3:26. To be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, there is no female, male, free or slave. There is no Jew nor Greek because we are in Christ. It is Christ. It has nothing to do with any other aspect of our life. In other words, you do not sit here today as an heir with Abraham because your parents believed in Christ. You are heirs with Abraham because you believed in Christ. You are a part of that covenant because you believed God and it is accounted to you as righteousness. This is what this is all talking about. That in Christ and in Christ alone, we are blessed. In Genesis 28:10, again, we're going to look at how the seed that is being spoken of here, as Jacob in Jacob's dream, it's going to speak of how it spreads abroad from the west into the east, into the south, into the north. He says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones that of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So again, we've seen promise. Jacob, who will become Israel, is again speaking of the promise to all the families of the earth. In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And these descendants will spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. How is that seed spread? Through the promise, through the gospel. That seed is being spread today. And it's not speaking about the nation of Israel, but it is speaking about the children of promise. Because again, that is what is being spoken of here, is the promise of the seed. The promise that all the families of earth shall be blessed. He says it to Abraham, he says it to Isaac, and he says it to Jacob. So when we talk about the gospel being preached to Abraham, it wasn't just preached to Abraham, but it was preached to Isaac and it was preached to Jacob. Each time he said that in your seed, all the nations shall be blessed. And when we understand that that seed that that God is speaking of is Christ himself, it makes it very easy to understand how all the nations will be blessed by that seed of Abraham. And so Abraham was preached the gospel to by God himself when he spoke to him and said, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Because the seed that is going to come from you, that seed, not seeds. And that's why it's important that we allow the New Testament to be the commentary to the Old Testament. That the New Testament is what explains to us the Old Testament. Because the plain reading of these passages would not allow us to place Christ into that picture. It looks very easily that he's just speaking of the lineage of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. But Paul makes it very clear to us what is being spoken of. So please consider this when you read the Old Testament. And when we see this type of language being used, when we talk about the promise, and that when we consider being blessed, it is not by the offspring of Abraham, but it is by the singular seed. Again, as we go through Galatians, we will see how very clearly how the covenant was made with Christ. It'll give us a better explanation of the law, how it was set there as a tutor. But that Christ is the substance of the blessings. That Christ is that seed that came through Abraham. Christ is that seed that when God preached the gospel in the garden and told Eve that in her seed would crush the serpent's head. You see, it goes all the way back there. The gospel has been preached since the very beginning, because that seed that was spoken up in Genesis, in the garden, is the same seed that was spoken of to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And it's the same seed that we live in today. It's the same seed that we become a part of. And that, as it says, that it is because of that we are the children of the promise and counted as the seed. You see, we've got to recognize that that promise is for you and I. That we live according to the promise of God, not according to something you and I can achieve. This is why Paul is using Abraham, because he has no choice, actually. If he is going to theologically apply the truth of justification by faith alone for our justification, he has to use Abraham. Because God used Abraham for that reason, to show us the long, drawn-out history that brought Christ into this world. And to remember that we are children of promise. This is why we can have a better assurity of our salvation, and even the salvation of our families and of our friends. Because the fact that it's based upon the promise of God, it takes it out of the hands of man. Because if it's in our hands, we're going to be, as Paul said, foolish. Foolish to adopt upon ourselves some sort of ability, some sort of arrogance that says, God owes me salvation. Instead of realizing that it's God's promise. And when we know that God is faithful, God will do just what he said he would do. And the faith that we have is the same as Abraham, who was willingly going to sacrifice his only son because God said, sacrifice your son. Is that our kind of faith? If God says it, we walk by it. Because of faith, we withstand sin because of faith. We walk in integrity of the Word of God because of faith, and for no other reason. In Sunday school this morning, as we're going through our book on the church, we looked about how so many churches go astray from the Word of God in order to bring people in or to elevate themselves or whatever the case may be. But our job is not to do that, but to be faithful to the Word of God and to operate as a church according to God's Word and according to nothing else. We will do nothing in this church that will promote it in such a way to bring the world into it. We will do what God calls us to do, that God may bring his people. And if God so chooses to leave us the size we are, then that's the size we will be, because we will remain faithful to God, and God's job is to grow the church, not ours. So we remain faithful no matter what urges us to do anything different. We remain faithful. That is the faith of Abraham, because our faith belongs in God and not in ourselves. We can't manipulate things. We can't manipulate our salvation. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. As I started this out, just as Abraham. We are justified as Abraham is justified. We are just with believing Abraham. Romans 4:9. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. I bring this passage of scripture up here because we are going to be dealing with the whole concept of circumcision in this book. And this is kind of a prequel to it, giving us that understanding that what comes first is faith. Remember, I said that this book will define what we believe. We could build the Reformed Baptist thinking. We could form it off of this book. It clearly identifies with the operation of how we believe the church is to function and what the church is. And we have very clear pictures, very clear passages of Scripture that indicates that for us. And Paul will deal with circumcision in Galatians. And so when we look at this and we recognize that we are of the faith, are blessed with believing Abraham, he says that in Romans 4, he says that faith was accounted to him as righteousness. And Paul asks the very simple question, how then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or before? Before he was circumcised. Circumcision did not bring about salvation in any way, shape, or form. Circumcision did not indicate that he was a child of God. Circumcision came later. Just like we believe that when we believe, we become part of the church. We become part of the new covenant. And then we are baptized. Because baptism comes after we believe. It's very clear that he even tells us that he's also the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while he was uncircumcised. Paul later tells us that circumcision has no value. None. Doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not circumcised. Has no value. But faith in Christ, that's what has value. And that's what this is pointing out to us. So in regards to how we look as a church, how we function as a church, it is what we believe about Christ and Him crucified. It is what we believe about our salvation and our justification that dictates to us how we are to function as a church. It dictates to us how we are to see baptism, how we are to see those that are members of the church. Baptism alone does not bring someone into the church of God. It does not make them children. And I think just the little bit we looked at this morning is very clear that that is the case. That we are in the church by being a seed of Abraham, which means that we are in Christ, which means we have the faith of Abraham, which means we are children of the promise. And it's when we become believers that then we identify with that faith by our baptism. The same way it explains that Abraham received that, the circumcision, as a seal of the righteousness of his faith. It was not given as a requirement of his justification. Again, it's the New Testament that clarifies the Old Testament for us. The New Testament is the commentary to the Old. We don't go the other way with it. It's what clarifies things for us. And I believe that the New Testament is very clear about how we are to look as a church, what the church looks like, and who is in that church. That's what Paul's dealing with here. He's dealing with who's justified. Who's a part of the seed? And he is going to deal with the whole concept of the work of circumcision, thinking you must be circumcised. Look, we baptize as a recognition of our salvation. But if you are saved, if you are a seed of Abraham, if you are part of Christ, if you are in Christ, if you do not become baptized, you are still saved. Baptism does not save us. Christ does. Baptism is an expression of grace of what God has done. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Showing that we have participated with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. So it's important that we see this. And as we go through this, we're going to clarify it more and more. And who we are as a church and who the church is according to Scripture, not according to our own whim. That means that we stand, we gather together today because we are as Abraham. We believe, and therefore we are imputed with righteousness. And that righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. Let's pray. Most glorious God in heaven, we do praise you today, and we thank you that in Christ we are your children. And for another reason, but that you have changed our hearts, you have opened our eyes, and you have allowed us to hear the truth. And you changed our hearts in such a way that we may believe. That we may believe and be saved. That we may believe and be imputed with the righteousness of the true seed of Abraham. And that is Christ, our Savior. Father, let our hearts be overwhelmed with the promise that you have given us in Christ. Let us hold fast only to that. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.